for the kratom, if we can back up for a second, one of the big problems for people coming off pharmaceutical pills, particularly painkillers and the like, is they stop sleeping.
Right.
And it gets to a point where you're going to sleep an hour a day. And if you go to sleep, the slightest noise will wake you up. And that starts wearing you down quick. Going without sleep is a torture of its own. And I've noticed others that use the kratom to be able to implement a level of sleep again that makes it tolerable. The other thing is, as I have heard that some people have used kratom a lot, but it's not, the addiction's not the same.
No.
Within a day or two, even if you took it all the time, within a day or two, you'd probably have diarrhea and you would easily walk away. It's not the same as taking pills for years at the height of the opium epidemic. I think a lot of people would have said it took over a year to get back to normal. But then again, they didn't know or have at their disposal the things that we're aware of now.
Right.
Oh, I wanted to talk about elderberry. I've become very interested in that. And I found a couple places that did it, and then I didn't get any for various reasons. What can you say about elderberry?
Elderberry is awesome. It's just packed with nutrients, and it's really good for immune support. My brother grows elderberry on his property. It's a beautiful tree, and yeah, it's really good for you. Elderberry was the first thing I started working on because my wife and babies were sick or detoxing from the seasonal change. It was around 2019, and everything in the store, like you said, we bought a couple things and then stopped buying everything, natural or not. Because everything, there was something in everything that either raised a red flag, or like baby oral gel. Yes, it numbs your gums, but it also hardens them. So it's harder for the teeth to break through. Like all these little things. And it's like, those are advertised at the top. So I started making elderberry, and it really helped their sore throats. And they got better. It took a couple of weeks to get better. We were just chewing garlic cloves. That's kind of all we had learned at the point. But that's all good stuff and all really helpful. The elderberry is just good for keeping your immune healthy, you know, especially while you're detoxing. But we take it constantly. We take a few tablespoons every morning.
So do you create the CBD oil on site?
Yes, I do. I create everything on site. We work with local farm. If we don't grow it ourselves or our family grows it, we work with local farmers. So the CBD oil is from a local farm right near us, upstate New York. They send us the herb and I make the oil. It's just got coconut oil and raw honey in it. And it's really, really powerful, really good. It can be used as a topical or orally. And I think it's like the best replacement for anti-anxiety meds, I would say, is really, really strong CBD oil. It's got to be full spectrum, got to have the THC in it. And I think it can do wonders.
Well, I got to bring up the stinging nettle, because in my life, that was a transitioning plant. I always thought it was an interesting plant. Since I was young, I was told it was some of them were related to cannabis. But I had the epiphany since I came to the East Coast again in 2016. I think it's a Canadian, it's supposed to be an invasive version, but the version that I'm talking about is, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 feet tall. The complexity is off the charts. If you look at the complexity of all the leaves and everything else, and then the bloom itself is this pink, purple, deepest color you've ever seen. And you couldn't start to count the petals if you wanted to. And that's when I realized all at once, this plant is so different from all these other ones. Why is it? And that's when the cymatics helped me bridge the gap. So you've got stinging nettle here. What kind of nettle is it, if you know, and what's it for?
I don't exactly know what variation of stinging nettle it is, but it's used to reduce inflammation, fever symptoms, and it is really good for your blood sugar levels and blood pressure. And a lot of people use it as a supplement to help them with like hair loss and hair regrowth. It's rich in silica and sulfur, and it really helps hair follicles from breaking and thinning out. I don't think it's mainly used to that. I think it's really good for inflammation, but just overall packed with vitamins and nutrients and really, really, really good for you.
You know, I've heard that people who had terrible arthritis back in the day, they started to realize bee stings helped like nothing else helped. And if I remember correctly, nettle, pricking the affected areas with nettle, which would further underscore what you're talking about, anti-inflammation. What is Banju?
Banju is awesome. Banju was inspired by Dr. Sebi, S-E-B-I, and he made a lot of herbal stuff. He got taken to court in, I think, the 80s for claiming he could cure cancer and cure AIDS and HIV and all that. He won his court case, and all his witnesses came in and proved him right. So he started making herbs and selling them online. And while I was doing my research, I was trying different things from different places. And Banju was the best thing that I found, in my opinion, for immediate natural, immediate health. If you want to feel good right away, right when you take it, it's got elderberry, blue vervain, Santa Maria, and burdock root. Sebi says it helps people with ADHD and ADD. I can see that, and only in the sense that it's very healthy. It's completely packed with nutrients that will make you feel good immediately upon taking it. And it kind of gives you clarity. It's sharpened my vision before when I've drank it. So I could see how it gives people focus in terms of just giving them a healthy mindset. I don't think it's comparable to a stimulant or an Adderall or something, or even Best Earth in terms of ADHD, but people do use it for that.
What is it now?
It's just a syrup. It's just a combination of elderberry, blue vervain, Santa Maria, and burdock root. And elderberry, we talked about, burdock root just grows all over North America. My brother grows a lot of that as well. And we harvest the root, dry it out, break it up, and that is 1/4 of the recipe. And Santa Maria and blue vervain are the next ones. Santa Maria is better known as feverfew, which is just really helpful if you're detoxing or have a cold. We tried to put everything in the syrups that can provide immediate nutrients to someone. That's why it's a syrup other than a capsule for when you're sick. And especially when you're with your throat, you want to drink really nutritious syrups like Banju and stuff for your throat. So it absorbs instantly and it's soothing.
There's another one here I see on your site that I'm not familiar with. Irish Iron.
Yeah, that's a combination of stuff I started making for my wife because she was given prenatals with our firstborn and they would make her throw up. And I was like, that's not right. You know, like it wasn't normal pregnancy nausea. It was every time she took them. And I started looking at the ingredients and this was before Ibogaine or anything. And I was just like, why is this in there? I just had so many questions. I didn't realize that the majority of things in stores aren't what I consider up to snuff, up to my qualifications of what's actually going to help someone. So long story short, I started doing my research and Irish Iron is a combination of yellow dock, burdock root, Irish sea moss, and bladder wrack. Now, bladder wrack is a seaweed. Irish sea moss is an algae. And burdock root, like we just talked, is we just use the root of. And yellow dock, also the root. What they do, the bladder wrack is iodine rich, helps with thyroid disorders, has 11 vitamins and 46 minerals. They all have amino acids. The burdock root is antibacterial, a blood purifier, and considered a superfood like moringa just for the amount of nutrients is in it. Yellow dock kills bacteria, improves liver function, reduces pain and swelling in nasal passages, and overall helps the digestive system. Irish sea moss, high in fiber. It's a probiotic, which enhances good gut bacteria. It's got vitamin B2, B12, calcium, chromium, magnesium, zinc. Overall, it's got 92 minerals. So I got the healthiest things possible, basically. Gave them one by one to my wife while she was pregnant. I did a lot of research. I was not just giving her doses of random things. And she gave me the best feedback about the herbs that I presented her. So I put them all together. And this is what she's been taking for our last three children while she's pregnant. And we have the most healthy children ever.
So we were thinking about covering, again, some of your children have come into the world naturally without shots, crap in the eye, and all the other things that go on. But if I'm not mistaken, did some come without a birth cert?
The latest one, she just got here. So you actually just reminded me of it. I don't know yet. We haven't, but yeah, she's without. But the other ones do have it. We didn't really know, you know, in the beginning, we didn't get our first one vaccinated, but he was born at the hospital. And I had to fight with the nurses. We were, you know, they were threatening us. They're going to call CPS. The whole thing, if we didn't give my boy the hepatitis B vaccine right when he came out, that's a whole story in itself. And then another nurse, they were saying that, you know, we're going to take your kids as my wife is in labor. Now, once the baby came and I said no to the hep B, I can't remember exactly what happened, but this one nurse pulled me aside and she said, don't fight with them about the eye thing. And I said, no, you're not doing that. And she winked at me and she's like, I got you. And I said, okay. And she put this eye goo in these gauze and she wrapped them up with other gauze that didn't have anything on them. And she like fake rubbed them on my baby's eyes. So it was like, there's people in this hospital that knows exactly what's going on and that they shouldn't be doing these things, breaking their oaths left and right. And then we've got another, the breastfeeding nurse that helps the baby latch with the mother. As soon as they're born, they come to your room and talk to you. They pulled us aside and said, just to let you know, they hate black babies here. They will try to kill your baby. That's exactly what
this is. Someone said this to you?
100%. 100%. Someone said that to me as soon as my son was born. Said it to me and my wife said.
Why would anyone even say that to you? Why?
Well, I'm sorry. My wife is black. So my son is technically.
Oh.
Black. So that's okay. Why I know it'd be weird if we weren't.
It would be a weird conversation no matter what. But if it's just out of the blue, I would, you know, that's like psychotic.
It is psychotic. Yeah. So no, she was just telling, she was like one of the good ones, you know, like winking at us, like telling us like, hey, don't leave your baby alone. So it's just fascinating. And then we had one more experience at the hospital right after that. That was just a horror show. You know, I had to literally curse out a bunch of nurses for them to give me my paperwork to discharge my child because they were just like, what? You don't want the best care for your child? Like they just antagonize you. And I truly feel that that's become a spiritual battleground for our generation is the hospital, you know?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. There are people that are starting to quantify exactly what's going on. And how would I put this? It's almost like the entire world is being weighed and measured at this moment. And it blows my mind how far gone so many professionals are where they just, I mean, you look at them and you think, what if that was your son or daughter or someone you love? Would you still act the same way? And if the answer to that is no, then you're off the damn rails right now. But part of the art of existing today is to keep it mellow, keep it calm and decline. The art of declination has never been more important. But Jason, is there anything you think we should get in?
Well, I'd like to finish up a point on the Ibogaine. As far as the experience, would you call them hallucinations? And does everyone have a similar experience, would you say? Or is it entirely different for everyone?
I'd say call them like movies in your head almost, because they don't change what you're actually seeing in front of you. It's more of a projection that's in your head that you can view at the same time. It's almost unexplainable.
But are you still aware of your body, your surroundings in the physical world?
Yes, until that movie that you're watching can take over. It can take over. And then you're in something else. You're doing something else. You're not like seeing the walls around you warp. Everything is perfectly clear, but you're in a different world. You're in a different room with different people and nothing is altered. When it takes you to that other place, if it does take you there, doesn't do that for everyone. It's mind-blowingly clear. And how much free will I had, how much understanding in the dream that I knew it was a dream. The entire time I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to tell Najla about this. Like I knew it was something supernatural.
So as far as the worst cases of addiction issues, would you say one experience is enough? Will Ibogaine take care of them in that one session? Or do you think they might need to do it again?
I think one is typical for most people. And then is if they do the aftercare, which involves either very small doses, like microdosed Ibogaine, where you don't hallucinate, you don't trip, but it just brings you back to that prioritized state of mind.
So would you say the experiences might be similar from person to person? Like you were saying, you were transported back to the 1900s. Do you think anyone else would experience something like that? Or do you think it's very unique to the individual? For instance, with DMT, I've heard a lot of people say they see these little clockwork elves. Does Ibogaine have any sort of situation like that?
No, that's a great question. Everything is completely case-by-case basis in that way as well. A lot of WEETI members talk about experiences where they meet historical Christian figures and they talk with their ancestors, and everyone's got a completely different experience. A lot of time travel situations, but I've never heard the same story twice.
Has anyone ever been able to retrieve information or anything that they could use, not just as a personal growth experience, but the time travel aspect is very fascinating to me. I was wondering if there's anything about it that has ever come about, like they found where a place was or an object or something along those lines.
Shit, I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, epiphanies beyond your wildest understandings about your own life and about the world from your perspective. But in terms of wisdom that is like unknown, I don't know. I certainly discovered things that were unknown to me. But I don't know if honestly Iboga could do anything. After I went through what I went through, I feel like I'm so gifted by the, you know, so given a gift by the creator because of what an amazing life-changing experience it was just from showing me how I could live a good life and I didn't have to live the life I was living. Yeah, I does that answer that?
Sure. The whole situation where you can almost be taken out of physical reality, but not quite, that really fascinates me and it makes me wonder what's going on in the brain.
Oh yeah, totally. Totally. And when you get to that state, you are completely gone from the room. There's no like, you can kind of linger, blah, blah, blah. But once you get to that stage of it, you're gone. You've got your physical body. You can feel everything, but you're in a completely different place.
You know, I noticed in some of the search returns, the idea of the Akashic Record was attached to the Ibogaine searches. That would imply to me that the time travel is basically something in your subconscious that you've either forgotten or it's far away from you coming back to the surface. Do you feel like that's accurate?
Yeah, I 100%, or it could be like ancestral DNA that you're tapping into because my great grandfather lived and collected all these experiences and then they conceived his son and then his son and then his son and then I got here. So all those experiences are built up over time in the blood and then passed down to us to the next one. So I think it feels like from my experience that Ibogaine was able to tap into that lineage. I don't know why it only went back to 1904 for me, but that's what I experienced.
Well, from what I've learned of the plants called so-called teacher plants, there is a very specific reason. And the natural intelligences of this place, I've heard stories and I've read accounts that are almost mind-boggling because it's not just one or two. It's so many people and so many cultures who have gone at this. But like with the ayahuasca, and I know people, there's different ways of making it and all that. A lot of times they're going to throw up. That's part of it. But what does the Ibogaine taste like?
Okay. Ibogaine is very bitter. It's not like pleasant. It's like eating a tree bark that has a lot of seasonings on it is what I would say.
Are you pretty much going to throw up if you take a decent amount? Is that a given? I mean, you should.
That's part of the spiritual purging as well.
Right. I agree.
Dr. Emoto, I'm a big fan of all that. Purging liquid holds a lot of information, you know, a lot of it negative. And when you take Iboga, you realize very quickly, you're not in control. Just let Iboga do what it has to do. Some people call it a surgeon without the scalpel. And, it kind of just takes over.
So do you have any new things that you're going to be adding to your website that are not currently listed?
Yeah, we do. I've got a liver detox package that I'm putting together. It's got magnesium, chaga extract, milk thistle extract, and then another part to the liver cleanse. It's got chlorella and yellow dock. And we've got a Rebel Joe coffee extract, hopefully coming out soon that we've been working on. And what else do we have? And I've got a double turmeric tincture coming out. It's a double extract, excuse me, of a turmeric with black pepper extract. So it's a tincture that we made using an extract powder of turmeric and not just turmeric powder making the extract, if that makes sense. So it's a double extract So it'll be very potent. That can help with things like prolonging kratom effects and with inflammation and joint problems. And I think that's it for now.
So I got to ask, so many of the people, mostly in the UK and Australia and other places, that are trying to naturopathically provide natural things are catching so much heat. Have you caught any heat for your website or anything else?
Knock on the greatest wood, no. Well, you know what? I actually, a little bit. As soon as we set up our website, our credit card, what's called processor,
yep,
they took that from us immediately, unless we took kratom and CBD off of the website. So I'm not going to do that, because that's what helps a lot of people, especially getting off other pharmaceuticals. They've been very helpful. So I thought that was a good test. So we just use other methods, Zelle, PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, things like that. Cash, we have a PO box. And we barter with people.
Wow.
We want to help people, and we want help. So,
you know, the whole kratom thing stinks to high heaven of the pharmaceutical industry, knowing that it helps addictions and they don't want it. And it just shows, if that's a correct assumption, and that is an assumption, it's the way I feel having done the research on it when they were threatening to illegalize it. That's a kind of evil that is not natural to our world. You know, it just is. So we're going to wrap up in a minute. Are there any parting? I've kind of been avoiding the question. So if somebody wanted to get a hold of the main topic here, is it possible under the current circumstances in our world?
Yeah, for sure. I did it. Totally.
Okay. Say no more. What do you want to get in as we begin to wrap up the second hour here? What's important to leave people with?
Don't judge people for where they are in the journey. Judge them for what their end game of their journey is. And what may work for some may not work for others. Not every herb and root was meant to be used, but I still want someone to tell me kratom and iboga has no medicinal value. If all the people that talk about kratom and everything, it's got so much value. And when you ask them, well, why doesn't it act like any other opiates? People, they stop responding to you at that point because they know it's not the same. And I think, Crow, 100% what you said about basically there's a tree growing in the block of the pharmaceuticals. They don't want anyone new on their block.
Well, they can't patent nature. That's why they're always abusing what nature created, because they can't just go harvest something and then say they own it and prevent everyone in the world from using it freely. So that's why they do what they do, because then the trademark and the patent and all those things follow.
They have to pervert it.
Right. And that plays into the whole opiate drugging of major portions of the world. From what I understand, God, it's been a long time since we looked at this, but the trademark or the patent was going to expire, whatever the proper way of saying that is. I think people know what I'm getting at, for Vicodin. I think it was Vicodin. And they went in and they changed one portion of it, which there was no medical reason or otherwise to do what they did. It was simply because they knew everyone was going to start making generic Vicodin. There's nothing they could do. So they just manipulated a chemical in some way so they could go seek their patents there. There's no portion. What I'm getting at is there's no portion of the intent or the action that has anything to do with wanting to benefit or help, or, you know, treat a human being like a human being should be treated in the first place. As a matter of fact, it's the polar opposite. It's evil on a level that I couldn't force myself to be a part of. That's the way that I view it. But, you know, all these things that you're bringing up and they're telling you pot's illegal. Well, if there's a God, guess what? He's growing it. Kratom. And, you know, I did some searching into kratom too. Apparently there are parts of the world where it is very common for a family to have a kratom tree growing
in their
little vicinity. And another thing I heard was the age, like everybody in where it was, Thailand, I forget where it was, but everyone knew that the most beneficial leaves were, I think, over 5 years old and things like this. But these are all things made in nature. So the idea that they are outlawing them should tell everybody something, mainly that they're important. And secondarily, that it's probably the pharmaceutical industry that's backing the banning of such things. Certainly, I think it's been demonstrated that kratom has been very helpful to a lot of opiate addicts. But what else do you want to leave folks with?
Like anything, if you drink too much coffee every day, you will have a headache maybe in a couple of weeks if you just stop. So not to say there aren't things that, you know, occur when you start or stop taking something. That happens with everything. But for people to compare kratom to any pharmaceutical opiate or any street opiate is at best inexperienced and at worst malevolent, you know, I have an agenda. I think that people should really, really know what they're talking about before they start doing what they're doing.
Well, one thing about the information age is we have the ability to easily find a lot of information. And if you've grown up your mind to understand that a lot of what's online is not helpful, and you understand how to get down to things that are simply verifiable. One of the things I would point out about what you just said is the old, I think this thing attributed to the Buddha is one of the most helpful. It's about the middle way. So supposedly the Buddha was by a river and he heard a guy tuning up like a guitar type instrument. And all at once he realized, if the string is too tight, it breaks. If it's too slack, it won't play. It's that middle way of moderation where it's tight enough, but not loose enough, and it plays and it does what it's meant to do in this world. And that was used as a lesson to exactly what you're saying. If you drink 10 gallons of coffee a day, guess what? You're overdoing it and there's going to be repercussions. I haven't heard of a lot of kratom addiction, but I have heard that people use it for a long time after they're off the opiates. So I guess I would add that. But again, there is so much information on kratom. Look at all the shows we've done. There's David Avocado Wolfs and others in the world who can add a lot of verifiable information, which I'm going to try to do with Ibogaine, to be frank with you. I've already got a call into him and I've already got a response that he's aware of it. And so, Jason, anything more you want to get in?
Well, I just want to let everybody know that these are really good people. We've met them at the last Flattoberfest. Very generous with what they make and what they do. Just overall really great people and very cool to be part of the community with them.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, James, why don't you go ahead and tell folks where they can find your stuff one more time, please?
Sure. It's www.groundedextracts.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking a thing that I wanted to learn about like years ago and then again forgot about. I feel like I'm on a path again with the Ibogaine. I'm very interested. I'll get with the plant experts I know. I have two books coming on the way, so I will not forget about this again. To me, these things are the epitome. To learn about a thing made in nature that is clearly special, that is clearly unique in its own right. Just if you don't get what I'm laying down here, go look up some of the actual spiritual practitioners of ayahuasca and listen to the accounts. It is unbelievable, almost supernatural. And the thing about it is it's not just one dude. It's thousands and hundreds of thousands of people and culture to culture that has learned to use it. And there's something special about these things that nature created. And it's a shame that we have a pharmaceutical company which just bastardizes them all so they can get their patent put on it. Anyhow, there's hour two of episode 379. And I hope you go visit Grounded Extracts. Check it out. I've been very interested in the elderberry, by the way, and elderberry syrup recently from research. But go say hi to James. Drop him a line. And I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. Cheers.